broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this show, truth is our bitch. Go in places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot, they will not, they should not, because they'll only wind up looking stupid.
Right.
All right. Thank you, bud. And also with us, Robert Leonard. We'll do our news and information hour in a couple of hours. In 1 hour, we will have Mr. Stephen Bozell on with us to talk about Memorial Day, his kid's school, and the purchasing of a skeleton costume, if you can imagine that for Memorial Day. If you can imagine that. Coming up this hour, you know the news perhaps about Representative Anthony Weiner. We will have with us Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries to talk about the very personal nature of some things that go out on Twitter and the problems that many in the religious calling have had in recent years, keeping their private lives, you know, above reproach. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And tonight's affiliate spotlight is on WSAR in Providence, Rhode Island, and KTBL Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you can also hit us up on philhendryshow.com for our live streaming video of the show. We are in HD on Phil TV right now. And behind me is an exterior shot of the large broadcast complex here at El Pacifico, a former mental hospital. And you can see by looking at the camera shot we have of our external the broadcast center, yeah?
Yeah, the broadcast center.
Broadcast center. You can see that there's a variety of doors and places that lead nowhere. And that's the way we like it. All right, 877-876-7445. I hope you had a good Memorial weekend. The summer is upon us, not officially yet. It's June 21st, but that doesn't mean that the world slows down at all. Joining us online from San Diego, California, the head of the Castorini Youth Ministries is a very good man here, David Castorini. And, Reverend, we thank you for joining us. We're talking about something tonight that's pretty private and pretty it's just laced with emotion as well as, I guess, in some people's eyes, scandal. And that is the problems that Anthony Weiner is having and the problems that your ministry has had and others.
Phil, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to clear this up, and I want to thank you for giving not only me the opportunity, but I think giving all Christians the opportunity to show that they're human and that they can err just like anybody else. But the difference is that we are forgiven, and that's the most important part.
Now, what we have here with Representative Weiner, and for those of you who don't know what happened, a weekend controversy involving a lewd photo posted on the Twitter account of Representative Anthony Weiner was a prank caused by a hacker, according to Representative Weiner. He's a New York Democrat who's one of the leading liberal voices in the House. He blamed the photo on a hacker who got control of his social networking accounts. However, Weiner's spokesman, David Arnold, said the congressman has retained an attorney to look into the situation. We've retained counsel to explore the proper next steps and to advise us on what civil or criminal actions should be taken. This was a prank. We are loath to treat it as more, but we are relying on professional advice. Now, what I understand is the FBI gets involved because he is an official of the federal government. The FBI gets involved because it's the hacking of a computer. There's interstate issues involved. So the FBI, if it has been hacked by a third party, whoever that individual is, it's not going to be hard to find out who. In other words, if this is truly a situation involving a third party. In your case, David, and this happened earlier in the year, it was not a third party. It was you sending, and you admittedly sent this, right?
That is true. And I think the difference between me and Representative Weiner is that I have the courage, the moral conviction to say that is exactly what happened. I took a photograph that I never, ever intended for anyone to see and sent it to an individual who I will not say who, but it was perfectly innocent.
Then you had been, you're a married man.
I am married, yes.
And what is your comment on all this?
On all of what, Phil?
Well, what is your comment on your behavior sending this picture that was eventually made public by this third party?
Well, I don't have any comment because it's really no one's business. That's where I draw the line between myself and Representative Wiener. Representative Wiener took a picture of himself in a bathroom or in his bedroom. I don't know where. I think it's very unseemly that he will not admit to it. And I think it's wrong for him to blame it on a hacker that I think probably doesn't exist. I, on the other hand, admitted that I took this photograph of myself. I took it with full knowledge of sending it to a young person.
It was a young lady?
I'm not going to comment on that. Yes, it was, but I shouldn't even have to say that. And what happened was people were saying, was it a young lady? As if I'd sent it to a young man. I think that I shouldn't even have to dignify that.
Well, all right. I don't mean to. You're married to a woman. I'm assuming you're a heterosexual. I think that's the least of your problems, right?
Well, I don't feel I had any problems, Phil, other than the fact that I did something that was in violation of my wedding vows. But it had nothing to do with my church. It had nothing to do with my congregation.
All right. Now, why do you say that? Because in one instance, you say that Representative Wiener was is immoral for not admitting it, and that you are moral for admitting it. Nonetheless, you're a married man, and this represents a transgression of your vows, doesn't it?
A transgression of my vows? I don't know if you're using that word properly or not, Phil. I think.
Well, it transgresses. Am I using it properly that way?
I'd have to look it up. I'd have to see. I think you're using it wrong. If you could ask that, I don't know what you mean by that question.
You, Reverend, you know what I mean. What I'm saying is,
I know what you're saying. You're saying, did I violate my wedding vows? I would say that I'm going to answer that question. But again, it's really no one's business.
Reverend, let's not dance around this and play games. I mean, you say it's no one's business. Then we have no interview if you won't answer this question.
No, I answered the question, Phil. I said that I did send it. And I did send it to a young person. And I shouldn't have to tell you the gender because I resent any inference that I might be a homosexual. And I resent the fact that I even had to say that.
And all right, but you're playing everything close to the chest. Why is this? I mean, you know, we got Representative Wiener.
Well, Phil, it's because it's really no one's business except myself and my wife.
No, we got Representative Wiener, who's a federal employee and a congressman and a representative of the people there in the district that he represents in New York. I understand that. But you are also a public personality asking for the faith of individuals to allow you to minister to their souls, to take their donations. We've seen this countless times with others in your position. These are not questions that you shouldn't have expected. Now, for you to say that none of this is my business, we have a country that is confused morally. We have a country that is dealing in moral relativism. We have a country that doesn't quite know which way to go sometimes, you know. So when you say, well, I'm not going to answer the question.
Well, Phil, what I'm providing, I think, for people right now is a compass, a moral compass. It is dead set. It is a moral compass, Phil, that does not waver. What I did was wrong. What I did was send a picture to a young woman. And there, I said, a young woman. I'm disappointed in myself, though, that I had to do that. And
see, all of this is like pulling information. Was it a man or a woman? I really don't want to say. What was it a picture of? I really don't want to say. It's none of your business. It's none of your business, none of your business, none of your business. It's only enough of your business to know that I did this.
That is exactly correct. And that is the only thing that I really want to deal with here. I will not deal with the nature of the photograph. I don't want to deal with the gender of the individual it went to because that's insulting to me. And it's insulting to my wife, I think, because if you're going to assume that I'm sending pictures of my private area to a young man, then you are saying I'm a homosexual and my wife has been fooled and duped and turned into some kind of a chump, if you want to call it chump change, and this. And I won't accept that. On behalf of my wife, I won't accept that she's some kind of chump change. I'm going to say, Phil, that I am sorry to my wife.
Are you sorry to your congregation?
I am not sorry to my congregation from this standpoint. I was very sorry to my congregation, but a great many of them have left. And when they left, they showed me a moral hypocrisy that I found repugnant. When they left, I found them to be more immoral than me because they were abandoning me at a time when I needed them so much.
And do you blame them?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Do you blame them for walking out of your church?
I do. I do blame them.
Why?
Because, Phil...
You are, as I said, the spiritual leader of this congregation. You're found to have sent a picture. Today, everybody's talking about Representative Wiener. And so this is why, and I appreciate you coming on to talk about this, but you've got to come clean with me here a little bit. You're saying that this is immoral for them to walk out.
No, I am coming clean with you. I'm telling you that what I did was wrong. I sent a picture.
What was it a picture of? Do you mind me asking?
I do mind you asking. Yes, I do.
And see, there's nothing, there's no information we can get.
I think if I were you, Phil, you could read between the lines if you want. I sent someone, a young person, a picture. And
do you feel that you're morally compromising that you have to say that it was a young person?
No, I'm not. Not at all. But, again, the more questions you ask me, the more the devil, if you will, Phil, is got his arm around you instead of me. When you and I started, I'm going to give you an example. When you and I started this conversation, the devil stood between us, looking at us back and forth. And he might have even had his arm around me, around David Castorini, thinking that he had me in his fold. The devil didn't know me. He didn't know David Castorini all that well. He should have known him well enough to put his arms on me. The devil didn't put his hands on me. And as we kept on talking, guess what? The devil walked over and put his arm around you and put his hand down in your top pocket and was pulling out a cigarette and using your matches. You guys are chums. And
why am I chums with the devil when I'm asking a question like this?
You want specifics on a picture of me. You want to hear all about the graphic detail.
And I simply asked you, Pastor, what is it a picture of?
It was an extremely private, extremely graphic picture. I'm very sorry I sent it. I sent it to a young woman. I'm very sorry. I told my wife I was sorry. I said to my congregation in February, I'm sorry. That is and should have been the last of it. But for the weeks that followed, more and more people left. And I would say, why? They said, because of what you did. I told you I was sorry. And they're still leaving. And
have you attempted to explain it since then to them?
No, I explained it once. I explained it once, and that's as far as I'm going to go with it. Now,
don't you think that these people have the right to know?
I think I have the right to expect their loyalty, Phil. I told them it was graphic. I told them it was to a woman. I told them I apologized to my wife. I told them that I was sorry. And
you don't want to tell me it was a graphic photograph, but not of a particular...
I will tell you it was extremely graphic. It was not of what you think. It was not of my manhood.
It was extremely graphic, but not of your genitalia.
That is correct.
All right, then that only leaves one other area of the body.
I don't want to comment on that. And again, I think it is. Again, this is the kind of scandalous, lascivious voyeurism that I am very, very much against.
All right, Reverend, I'm going to have people calling the show here tonight, and they're going to be asking you some tough questions.
Phil, I'm a Christian. I love my fellow man. I'll answer as best I can, but I simply will not answer questions that intrude.
Are you a good Christian minister?
That's an insulting question. That's an insulting question that I cannot answer.
You can't answer. You can't tell me if you're good or bad.
I should not have to answer that question.
David Castorini with us. I got to make sure I don't lose my temper. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, as Reverend Castorini recounts a time that he sent to a young lady a very, very graphic picture of himself that wasn't his penis. It was some other part of his body. Well, guess which one? And he doesn't want to talk about it. And he said he apologized to his wife. He apologized to the congregation. And that's all he needs to do. And the rest of it is, quite frankly, none of our business, yours or mine. Maybe that's true of Representative Wiener. I don't know. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Representative David Castorini, or excuse me, Reverend David Castorini with us tonight. Coming up next hour, Stephen Bozell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on, you're on the air.
Phil.
I don't care.
That's
if I'm on
877-876-7445.
If you want.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. You heard the man. That is the number here to join us on our video cast as well as our radio broadcast this evening. And go to philhendryshow.com to pick up our the audio, obviously, to get our radio affiliates. We have a list there for you, and you can also watch Phil TV in HD. Reverend David Castorini is with us. He's a good man and a good friend. And, David, I've known you for a long time. You've been a news contributor on our program. We appreciate that. I've never known you to be a man who hasn't been forthcoming, at least. And to sit here and say to me, because this is a big news story.
Here's the one thing. This is an old piece of news.
Not for my audience, though.
It is an old piece of news that I shared with my congregation. I told them I sent a very, very graphic photograph to a young lady.
And it was of you.
It was of me. And it wasn't my genitalia. You're right.
And how young was the lady?
Again, it's insulting for you to have to ask that question. And again, it's none of your business.
We want to know, David, forgive me, we want to know if she was underage.
That is an outrage for you to... It's an outrage.
David...
Don't talk down to me or patronize me. I'm a man of the cloth. I'm a witness to the word.
And yes, sir, but you sent a photograph, a graphic photograph, to a young woman. You're married. Your parishioners, your congregation members were walking out.
So, first of all, one of the things I want to tell you, parishioner is a Catholic term that I'm personally offended by. We have congregation members.
Forgive me, are you offended by Catholics?
No, I'm not offended by Catholics. And again, I won't dignify that with an answer. Because there's no dignity at all. See, the dignity is gone from that.
And well, you don't want to use the Catholic term.
I'm not a Catholic. But don't undignify. I'm not going to dignify that, and you don't give me no dignity. In order for me to dig them.
All right, let me take a phone call. Our number is 877-876-7445. Sharon in Milton, Florida. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Reverend David Castorini. Go ahead, please. Well, go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air, ma'am. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay. First of all, undignified. He did that all on his own. Answer any questions. If
I'll answer any
I was in that congregation,
you
need her off. If I was in that congregation, I would have walked out as well. He needs to apologize.
You're a hypocrite then, ma'am, because I'm trying the best way I know how to do what I can.
I believe you standing up preaching the word of God is being hypocritical. Okay, you need to apologize.
Why?
You need to get on your knees.
I did, ma'am. I apologized to my congregation. I apologized to
then
my
don't
wife.
Don't be upset with them for walking out. Don't be upset with them for walking out. Apologizing might not be good enough for them.
Well, they're not Christians then, are they?
You broke all laws of Christianity.
What? How did I break?
Okay.
You're not going to say you did not violate the commandments.
All right, you're absolutely right, Phil. I'm sorry, but I did not have sex. I sent a picture of something that, you know, that was private.
So it's okay because you didn't have sex? Wow.
Well, ma'am.
That's amazing.
What do you mean, wow? What does that mean? Wow.
Because that's just amazing. You know, a man that wears
right.
cloth, as you so well.
Okay,
said.
I tell you what. Hold the
it's
line.
Okay
hold the line, Sharon. We'll get back. Hold on, Sharon. We'll
to another woman.
Hold on for just a second. I don't know whether she don't. She hung up. All right, we'll be back with more of your phone calls. And Reverend David Castrini, we do have to take a break. Our number is 877-876-7445. Back with the Reverend on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and the picture that he sent through Twitter not too long ago to a young lady.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Reverend David Castrini. We're talking about this photograph supposedly sent by Representative Wiener, a Twitter picture that he said was sent by a hacker. You fully admit sending a very, as you call it, disgusting photograph to a young woman, a member of your congregation. You apologize to your wife for doing it. You apologize to the young lady for doing it. You apologize to your congregation. But you won't give me any information. You won't tell me what it was a picture of. You won't even tell me whether you feel that you've done anything wrong, other than the fact that you've, you know, broken commandments. But beyond that, you know, the fact that you don't want to come forward with any information.
Well, Phil, I don't know what information I should give you. I've confessed this to God, and I told my wife, and I told the young lady I was sorry. It was a vile and disgusting photograph. And
you won't tell us what it was, the picture of.
What difference does that make?
Because I got to tell you something, Reverend. It'll make a big difference to me if I find out that it was a picture of a body part, whatever. But if it was something else.
What does that mean? Look, you have tried to compare me to this Jew in New York, this congressman.
What do you mean by that, this Jew?
Phil.
Are you an anti-Semite on top of everything else now?
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. I won't dignify.
You don't want to dignify anything with a response. Why did you say this Jew?
I'm simply saying I'm a Christian, all right? I'm not a Jew, and that means that I don't hold to the same concepts. Perhaps in the Jewish faith, or what have you, I don't know, this is acceptable to take a picture of your you-know-what and send it via Twitter to every woman that's following you. It is not acceptable in the Christian faith to take a picture of some other part of your body, which I did do, and send it to just one woman, which I did do. I apologize for that.
I think the anti-Semitism that has now crept into this is very disturbing.
There is no, I do not. I'm not anti-Semitic.
All right, then why did you say this Jew?
Is he not the Jew in New York?
The Jew in New York, Anthony Weiner.
The Jewish man in New York.
All right, what has that got to do with anything?
What does my Christianity have to do with the fact that I sent a picture to this young woman that I shouldn't have to say it was a young woman? But I have to say it's a young woman, otherwise you're going to think I'm a homosexual. And I sent a picture to her of something that I don't want to get into, and I apologize to her.
What about apology to Anthony Weiner for calling him this Jew?
I didn't call him. I said that he is not a Christian is what I meant.
Didn't sound like it to me.
That's what I meant, Phil.
Didn't sound like it to me at all, Reverend. 877-876-7445 here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Holly. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Holly, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just had a question for the Reverend, and I mean no disrespect, but after all that's happened in hindsight, do you still see yourself fully capable of leading a congregation unbiased and
directing
them in their...
Absolutely. Yes, I do. What they've done is they have left my church, some of them, not all of them, some of them have left my church, and I find those people to be greater sinners than me.
Were you sending people threats?
No, I was not.
Were you calling them?
I was calling them, yes.
Were you threatening them?
I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. I will not dignify that with an answer.
Fully believe that they could put their faith in you and the advice that you gave them. You're saying that they're sinners because after
they have turned their back on me. I have
your advice.
They have, as Christians, they should forgive, as I have forgiven those who have, you know, told me I'm going to go to hell because I took a picture of a part of my body and sent it to a girl. And it wasn't a little girl, Phil, just so you know.
Well, you weren't even going to answer that question, Reverend. You didn't want to dignify that with an answer.
Well, I will dignify it to this point. It wasn't a little girl. But I took a picture, and I sent it. And I thought she'd enjoy it because we were joking about it.
Joking about what?
I'm not going to go into it. But I would say to the young lady on the phone right now, you have the courage to call and talk to Reverend Castorini about what I've done. And I thank you for that.
You got, well, I'm just wondering if most you're calling those that don't fully believe that you are capable of giving advice to them in their lifelong troubles, and you're calling them sinners for choosing not to take your advice, I'm wondering if you're fully capable of leading a congregation unbiased.
Are they fully capable of making the decision that David Castorini is not a good man, is not worthy of the Christian cloth? Are they fully capable? I don't think they are. I think what they're doing is they're allowing the media, the press, and all the scandal sheets to take hold and influence their decision. They're not letting the Holy Spirit speak. If they let the Holy Spirit speak, they would have David Castorini front and center in their lives. You see?
That, you know, Reverend, that's a good sermon, you know. But,
well, Phil, you're not even a Christian, not even a practicing Christian. I heard the gentleman on your program the other night. I don't know why you're even involving yourself. This is the language only Holly speaks.
You know what I mean, Holly, right? That's okay.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You understand that when I say I took a picture, do you want to know what I took a picture of?
No, I don't care. What I'm saying is that you're calling those that choose not to take advice from you.
Did you send this picture to your congregation?
I sent it to the people that were leaving.
You sent this photograph to the people. So in other words, what you were doing is harassing people.
No, I was not, Phil.
Yes, you were. You're sending the photograph to them. You're telling them they're going to hell. All the people that left. Holly, in talking to her, it sounds to me like she would have done the same thing. So you would have sent to her this photograph.
I would have been forced to, yes, if Holly left. And she would have seen.
Because somebody chooses not to follow you doesn't mean that you need to. In my mind, that's harassment. For choosing not to follow you and you sending them that picture would be harassment.
I said they're going to hell, and I sent them the picture, and that's the last they heard from me.
It's still harassment.
No, it's not. I'm not stalking them.
It doesn't make any difference.
That is complete harassment.
I am not stalking them, is what I'm saying. I'm not doing it over and over and over.
You don't have to stalk someone to harass them.
Exactly.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but what do you know about it?
Vulgar to someone who chooses not to take advice from you is harassment.
But I'm not. I heard a man say to Mr. Henry the other night, "What do you know about it?" And I remember thinking, "What a rude man." Now I understand what he meant. What do you know about it, Mr. Henry? Have you ever stalked anybody?
No, sir, I have not. But I happen to know what the law says, and it doesn't have to do anything with stalking. It has to do with harassment.
It doesn't have to do anything with stalk. Your grammar's lousy.
You know, you can screw around all you want, but what I said and what Holly said is true. It's harassment.
I sent it one
time. Being a Christian man, I'm sure you can understand the weight and how insulting it is for someone to tell you to go to hell.
Who did you send it to? Who did you address it to?
I won't dignify
it.
Well, I happen to know. I happen to know, so you don't have to dignify it. You mailed it directly to the wife, not to the man. Are you telling me that that's not true?
I'm not going to dignify that with an answer.
Of course you're not going to dignify that with an answer.
Well,
thank you for the call.
Mr. Henry, he has sinned against me, which is the same thing in many ways, Phil, as sinning against Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but you sinned against me, and Jesus is going to take more of a notice on that one than on some other job you might, some other sin.
No, I don't believe that at all. Thank you very much, Holly, for your call.
Sinning against you is more of a sin than sinning against the Lord Jesus Christ?
I'm simply saying because I carry the cloth of the Christian faith, I'm saying that what Phil did was he sinned against David Castorini. No, it's not sinning against God. but it is it can put you in hell.
Oh boy.
So disagreeing with someone is going to land you in hell. Well, that's a new one.
No, I didn't say that. With me, yes.
With you.
With.
So simply disagreeing with you will land.
How long you been a Christian? With any man that's a reverend, if you disagree with him, and you do not have cause, then you are like the whited sepulcher, and you're going to land in a real hot spot after you die.
Because I disagree with a reverend.
Aren't you still a man?
I'm still a man.
And you're a man that sent a photograph of some part of your body that we don't know about. Listen, thank you very much, Holly, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, this is becoming comical.
No kidding. And I want to ask, Mike, I want
to
ask him.
He's responsible for his congregation. He's taking money.
Did you?
He's preaching the word of God. And I applaud the congregation. I applaud the congregation for leaving. And on the flip side, how can you preach for forgiveness when you don't give it? It's ridiculous.
They've sinned against me. They've sinned against me, which is not the same as sinning against Jesus. Okay? But still, because they said to me that they're leaving me. And
you sent them pictures. You sent them copies of this photograph. You sent them letters that said they're going to hell.
I had to. I had to tell them where they were going. They're hellbound. I said, you are hellbound? And
what was the picture of the train?
That was a joke.
So you sent them a picture of a train, you're hellbound, and the picture of some part of your body.
Yes. Yes, I did. I was forced to. And the reason I was forced to, and please hear me out, is because God forgave me, but they hadn't. Are they better than God? No, they're not. Are they better than me at that point? Well, of course they're not, because I'm a reverend. I'm a Christian minister. Are they better than you, Mr. Henry? Yes, they are. Because you're the kind of guy that is going to hold me. Is the guy, did he hang up?
Yes, he did.
Well, then why am I wasting all this breath?
All right, you know what? Hold on for just a minute. 877-876-PHIL here with David Castorini. We're going to get to the final segment with him, and I'm going to find out exactly what this picture had, what it was a picture of. And I want to find out about the truth of this statement that you can sin if you offend a reverend or a minister or any man of the cloth. And maybe there are other reverends or ministers out there that can clarify that one, although I'm sure David's going to get upset with me for even asking that question. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Steve Bozell coming up next hour.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
So let me explain some things to you. You don't understand the Bible.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have with us tonight Reverend David Castorini, a final segment. Then we also have coming up Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, on a bizarre encounter that he had with his daughter's, with the administration of his daughter's school. Anthony Weiner is a congressman who is alleged to have sent a picture of his penis via Twitter, or he has been hacked by someone. His account was hacked and a picture of someone else's penis was sent. But nonetheless, it has brought back for some people reminders of a very, very unfortunate incident that occurred with the Castorini Youth Ministry, and that was David Castorini. David being one of our guests frequently on this program as a news contributor, joins us to talk about this. And that was a incident where you had sent a picture to a young woman, very graphic. You have not said what it was of. You have not done anything other than apologize once to your wife, to the young lady, and to your congregation. And since then, you've said these people are sinners that are leaving your congregation. So, David, you know, I would simply ask you this, and we can. There's a lot of different ways we can go here. I don't want you to keep saying to me, you're not going to dignify that with an answer.
Well, let me put it to you a different way, Phil, because I sent a photograph of something that I should not have sent to a young lady. I apologized to her. I apologized to my wife. I apologized to my congregation. And they repaid me by leaving in droves. I had 1,100 members of my congregation. We lost around 700. And, yes, I sent to every single one of them a copy of the picture and a quotation from the Bible that I did not get right, but it basically amounts to your high. If you're a, Phil, if you know anything about trains, it used to be an old highball into hell, you know. So I just put a highball, you're on a highball to hell.
And what biblical verse is that?
It's a biblical verse that I took and I just put it into train talk, you know, into train talk.
And a biblical verse you put in a train talk. All right, so they're all going to hell. You sent this picture. All right.
Yeah, and one other thing I want to say, and I also said this to them. What would happen, Phil, if Jesus had a digital camera and a Twitter account? Okay? I'll give you a few seconds to answer that one. Go ahead.
Are you asking me that question? Is that a serious question?
Of course it's a serious question. I ask every one of your listeners the same question. What would happen if Jesus had a digital camera and a Twitter account? Go ahead. Go.
What do you mean, go? I can answer that question easily.
You can?
Yeah. Nothing would have happened. He would have been the same Jesus. He would have defeated that temptation.
I think that is so intellectually dishonest that it makes me want to use God's name in vain.
What is intellectually dishonest about that?
You know full well if Jesus had a digital camera and a Twitter account, stuff might happen different. And
so in other words, if Jesus had a digital camera and a Twitter account, he may not have acted as the Son of God. He may have caved into his own humanity. He may not have sacrificed himself for the sins of man. The salvation of man may not have happened if Jesus had a digital camera and a Twitter account. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying to you, you're putting it in ultra dramatic terms. I'm saying to you, everyone wants to crucify David Castorini, and I will wear this crown of thorns.
No, you're not going to get away with that, David. You already compared yourself to Jesus once in this show. I don't want to hear you do it again, okay?
No, you have to let me finish saying what I'm saying. I will wear the crown of thorns if that's what you want to do. If you want to go ahead and tie me to a post and let the Romans lash me, I will do that.
That was very, very vulgar.
I apologize, Phil. I apologize for that. I had sun-dried tomato sausage before I come on. This is an emotional time for me.
You know, I don't feel sorry for you in the least.
Why not?
Because you're saying some of the most outrageous stuff. And on top of that, you have hidden everything. Whether the picture went to a really underage girl or not, we don't know. You said she wasn't a young girl. Fine. What the picture is of, we don't know. You don't want to say. You sent these pictures to people that were leaving, but you say that was fine because they were the ones who were sinning against you. And sinning against you is even worse than sinning against a normal person. It's just a step down from Jesus. Then you say you're wearing the crown of thorns because we're asking you these questions. And finally, you question whether Jesus Christ himself would have ever fulfilled his mission, if you will, as the Son of God, if he had a digital camera and a Twitter account. You're saying Jesus would have sinned.
I did not say that, Phil. I simply asked you what...
No, that's exactly what you're inferring.
I simply asked you the question. Phil, I'm a reverend. I'm a Christian reverend, and you have raised your voice in an angry way to me. And that's all right, Phil. I'll go ahead and I'll carry that cross, too. And if you want to take the crown of thorns, put it on my head, and then jam it down so the thorns carve right in like they did to... That's good, too. I bet you're the kind of guy, Phil, you probably get a couple of giggles. I don't know what you do. I can only imagine what you do to get a couple of giggles. You take a crown of thorns and stick it on a man's head and then just shove it down till it just carves right into his skull? Do you do that? Phil? Do you stand and laugh while a man is hammered into a beam of wood and then raised up on a hill? Only in my case, I'd be probably raised up in your backyard or something. Or maybe raised up in the parking lot of your radio station or the mental hospital you broadcast from or whatever it is you do. But I'm telling you now, Phil, as a Christian, I took a picture that I shouldn't have taken. I'm sorry that I did it. But you're not going to find out what was up.
We have 1 minute. 1 minute left in this broadcast. 1 minute left. All right, let me go very quickly. I don't know if we'll have enough time for this caller. Here is Terrence. Go ahead, Terrence. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. How are you, Phil? It's nice to meet you, sir. I just started listening to your radio show for like a week now, and it's absolutely incredible.
It was of a bowel movement.
What was?
The photograph.
A bowel movement?
I told you that it was private. Oh, God, why did I do that? Why did I do that?
You took a photograph of a bowel movement and mailed that to a...
Yes, because she was talking about how funny-looking hers were, and I said, look at this. And that's when she turned it over to the Inquirer.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, why did I do it?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and it is our job, it's our calling, it is our destiny to go where other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot because they just cannot. Next hour is our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. This hour, Mr. Stephen Bozell is going to be joining us as we continue our series on the educational system at the elementary and middle school level. And is it leaning more and more and more toward the left? Is it becoming a large manufacturing base of liberal thinking? Mr. Bozell is going to join us here in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-8767. 445. And a reminder that our website is philhendryshow.com. So if you head on over there, you can watch our Phil TV in HD if you have a backstage pass. As a matter of fact, with a backstage pass, you get thousands and thousands of hours of archive material, the daily podcast of our show, classic Phil podcasts, our news feed. We have our 5-day archive of video casts. And, of course, the daily video cast. So, as well as a blog, as well as a news feed, and a lot of other great things. Check into our shop and pick up one of our CDs, as well as our T-shirt, our shot glass, our coffee mug, and who knows what else we'll come up with here in the near future. It's philhendryshow.com. All right. Stephen Bozell on the line here from Corona, California. And good to have you with us, sir. Mr. Bozell is a frequent contributor. Yeah, it's a frequent contributor on our program, and we often talk with you about your daughter, April, who attends CK Corona and is a, you mentioned to me that she is a, I believe she's a seventh grader or an eighth grader, something like that, Steve?
My daughter is a, right now, my daughter is seventh grade. She is a 12-year-old, and she's a young girl. She's a good girl. And she has a academic record that is excellent. We had a minor problem that when I had told you originally about it, I was concerned. I want you to know, though, up front before we begin this, that we have had a family meeting on it, and I was able to talk to her teachers. And
all right. So the thing that was concerning you last week, sir, was the purchase, and I don't blame you. She asked you on was it Thursday?
Yes, sir. It was Thursday last week.
And she said she needed to purchase what?
Well, my daughter, they had a presentation at school on Friday, what they called their Memorial Day presentation. And it encourages young people to discuss Memorial Day as well as observe Memorial Day in the way that they feel from their own inner, and I don't know how you would say this, Mr. Hendry, I'm not an educator, but from their own inner instincts, how they see it. And so she asked me if I'd take her to the costume store to get a skeleton costume, and she wanted to do it right away because she knew all the other kids. She's in a class of 40. There were probably about 30 of the kids or 20 of the kids that wanted to get skeleton costumes, too. So she was afraid they'd be sold out, this and that. And I told her at the time.
Your daughter wanted a skeleton costume for Memorial Day.
And again, I want you to know, we've worked it out. Mrs. Dorton, my understanding is, and I talked to Ms. Haley, who is my daughter's teacher. Mrs. Dorton is the headmistress of the school. And I was told and I was assured by Mrs. Haley that Mrs. Dorton is fine, and she's fine, and I'm so thankful, and I'm so grateful to Mrs. Dorton for that. And
all right, tell me before we get into this, what your reaction, it sounded to me, was very healthy, Steve. Your daughter wanted to get a skeleton costume, and what did you say?
I told her at the time I didn't think it was wise. I did not think it was a good way to represent Memorial Day. I know now that I've been wrong.
You know now that you've been wrong. All right. Well, I'll tell you, I thought your instinct at the time was right on. So she wanted to basically say Memorial Day was about a lot of skeletons, a lot of dead people, a lot of, in other words, a loss of life for nothing, people that have gone to their grave for nothing. They're nothing more than a pile of bones. And all of those men who died and women who died in defense of our country was all for naught. Isn't that what her statement was?
My daughter's statement was, essentially that.
And are you telling me that now you agree with it?
Well, sir, I feel I don't want to come on your program and be interrogated like I'm on a...
Well, I apologize for that, but I'm just trying to get some answers here, you know.
Well, have you seen, I don't know if you've seen on the TV, the Casey Anthony trial and the way they talk, and I don't want to be on that trial. You know?
No, sir, I don't want to put you're not guilty of murder. I think you're a good father, Mr. Bozell. You're telling me, though, that you now agree with your daughter wearing a skeleton costume to school on Friday as her way of observing Memorial Day.
I feel, and in speaking with Mrs. Haley, I wanted to find out what Mrs. Dorton thought. And Mrs. Dorton approved, and I said, okay. And just so you know, Mr. Chairman, my daughter is here. April Jr. is here, and honey, I'm going to be on. She's here. She's listening to the broadcast.
All right. Well, we welcome her to the broadcast. But I'm talking to you right now, and my question is: are you saying that you now endorse that?
I see my daughter's point. After what had happened was on Thursday, she said, "Daddy, I need to get a skeleton costume." I said, "Why?" I'm thinking Halloween. And we're nowhere near that. She said, "Because of the Memorial Day presentation we're going to do," and I said, I don't think that's a respectful, you know, I misspoke. I told her that it was not respectful to observe the dead on Memorial Day as just a bunch of skeletons, and that's when she left. She didn't say much, and I pretty much, at that point, then I knew. I didn't even bother going to work. I just stayed by the phone, and I got the call at probably about...
All right, so this has happened so often that you get called into her school, because what happens is, you say something to her that she disagrees with, and she goes to school and tells the school about this, and they have you in.
They call and request that I go down there.
And you, after that conversation on Thursday morning, you didn't even bother to go to work. Well, the first time I talked to you about this, you would go to work and you get a call.
No, I knew that she'd go to school and tell them that her father did not approve of the skeleton costume. So as soon as she went out the door, I told my wife, well, that's going to blow the whole morning, so... I went ahead, got myself another cup of coffee, pulled the sports page, and waited for the call, and it came about 30 minutes later.
And who was it from initially?
I thought it was from Dorton. It was Mrs. Haley then got on the line and said to report to the school, which I did do, and then Dorton just pointed down the hall toward the class.
Pointed down the hall toward the class, which is where you went, and then what happened?
And then I was... talked to the kids, and they told me why the skeleton costume is good on Memorial Day. And this young boy, Bradley Schragen, who's a good kid, he said to me that I was interfering in matters that were not of my concern. He said that these are matters that go beyond my ability to understand them. And he's a very bright...
Now, you're talking to an 11-year-old kid, isn't that right?
Mr. Andrew,
No, come on. Isn't this Bradley kid 11 years old?
Yes, sir, he is.
And this kid is telling you that you're meddling in matters that are beyond your understanding.
He said to me that I was meddling in matters beyond my comprehension. I said to him, I feel that it's wrong to wear a skeleton costume to say this is what an American soldier represents. And that's when he told me to, he did tell me to shut up. And
he told you to shut up.
Mr. Henry, if you will let me tell, because every time you say something, I know that my daughter is over here. She's going to want to say some things.
I don't want to talk to your daughter. I want to talk to you. This kid told you to shut up.
He told me to shut up because I was not seeing things right. And when he explained to me, Bradley and the other kids explained to me, that the use of the skeleton costume shows that what Memorial Day truly is about is just death. Just black death and dancing skeletons. And I suddenly realized, you know, that's got a point. And
you all of a sudden realize this. I don't for a minute believe this. I don't know what pressures are being exerted on you, sir.
Well, I know that Mrs. Dorton, who is a very good educator, look, I don't want my daughter thrown out of this school, and I don't want Dorton, I don't want Mrs. Dorton to think that our family is not quality enough. And so in order for us to have my daughter at CK Corona, I want to do the things that I need to do to keep Dorton from, putting our family in the file. And
so you're concerned with being thrown out of this school, and so therefore your daughter coming to the house saying, I need a skeleton costume, Dad, you say you don't want to buy it, and you give reasons that I think are very sound, and they're your opinion, and there's nothing wrong with you imparting your opinion to your daughter. You find out later at school that you're wrong. You're told you're wrong by an 11-year-old, and you're fine with that.
I'm fine with whatever it makes my daughter happy, sir. And I was against it, but now I'm in favor of it.
What happened to the man who said that wearing a skeleton costume on Memorial Day was an offense to the men and women that died?
That man still is alive, except for the skeleton costume part, which I believe my daughter was right when she said that I believe in our fighting men and women, but Memorial Day, maybe it is just skeletons dancing. I don't know.
Maybe it is, you don't know. You went from being very definite to maybe it is, you don't know.
Again, you're interrogating me like I'm some kind of Casey Anthony, some kind of a whore. You know,
no, sir, I'm not a whore. No, sir. All right, we're going to take a break here because I can see that Mr. Bozell did not buy his daughter a skeleton costume for Memorial Day presentation at her liberal school, and that cost him. He was called on the carpet by the school, by the class, and now he sees the error of his ways. And I just don't think that that's honest. I don't know what's going on here, but I think wearing a skeleton costume on Memorial Day is an insult. I think the fact that he didn't want to buy it in the first place was the right decision. The fact that he turned around and bought it because he was afraid his kid would be thrown out of the school. Would you worry about that? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Steve Bozell in just a moment. How would you handle
this? We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. His daughter goes to CK Corona Middle School and asked to wear a skeleton costume to school for a Memorial Day presentation. Why is that? Well, because Memorial Day is really just about skeletons, about death. Now, if you are thinking this is a fairly liberal curriculum, you're right. Joining us is Mr. Bozell, Mr. Corona. Mr. Bozell.
If my name was Corona, I wouldn't have the problems I have. I guess I'd be one of the inheritors of the town fortune or something.
Well, what you did say to her, though, was, I think, the right thing. You said, no, I will not buy that costume for you. That's a wrong way to celebrate Memorial Day. But then you turned around and you caved in.
You have to understand, at this school, Dr. Henry, there are certain principles some people you're just not going to stand up to. I mean, I don't care who you think you are and what you think you are. There are some educators you can't do it. And
well, I dare say there's probably people. In other words, this headmaster, this principal, this Mrs. Dorton.
That's correct.
Is so formidable that you would not dare stand up to her and say what?
I'm not going to tell her. I'm not going to say to her, my daughter is not going to wear a skeleton costume. You're not going to say that to this particular kind of you know, school administrator. You know, there are some parents think they're going to challenge the status quo. Some parents think they can tell educators what to do. And I for one, I've always been one of those. But you got to draw the line at some people. Some people are going to cut you off at the knees. And
all right, so what is the lady's name? Her name is Mrs. Dorton?
Yeah, it's Erica Dorton. She has been the headmistress there at the CK Corona for 21 years, which she says goes. You have your kid in that school.
Is it a public school?
Yes, it is.
It's not even a private school.
No, it's not a private school.
So at a public school, you would think that the parents have a say.
At most public schools, my understanding is yes, of course, that's the way it goes. Not at this one. And the reason is because...
Well, is she generally supported by the parents? Because it doesn't sound to me like you support her.
Yes, I do support her. Yes, I do support her. I'm not going to say I don't support her. That's the last thing that I want to have publicly expressed, is that I don't support her. I do not want to say that because you have to understand that certain things have consequences. And
well, what if this is a public school and your daughter wants to wear a skeleton costume as a way of celebrating Memorial Day, and you say to her as her father, no, you may not.
Yes, but the school told her that they wanted her to do this. That's what she wanted. They said, yes, that was a good idea. They gave it a big thumbs up. So the school was totally in favor of it.
The school's totally in favor of her walking around in a skeleton costume on Memorial Day. And this is a public school, and this is a school that you want to take, that you want your daughter in.
I want her in the school because this woman Dorton is standing between me and my daughter, and standing between me and my daughter and getting my daughter out the door of the school.
And I've never heard of any school, any administrator anywhere that has that kind of power.
Mr. Henry, it's probably been a long time since you had a kid in school. But these days, school administrators and teachers have a lot of power. And this one, at this school, I tell you, if...
What if you wanted to take this kid out of the school?
If I wanted to take my daughter out of that school?
Yeah.
I'd have to deal with Dorton.
You know what, man? Maybe there's something I'm missing here, you know?
No. The only thing you're missing is you've never been... You're not a parent today. In today's modern society, you don't take a kid out of a school run by a woman like Erica Dorton. You don't do it. And I can tell you, you know...
Why don't you step up as a parent and just tell this school the costume's offensive? You don't want your daughter wearing a skeleton costume. Why can't you do that?
Because of what the ramifications can be with this Dorton.
And what would those be, sir? What would those be? I don't understand. You say to me that you can't, she's not going to kick you out of the school.
I would love my daughter to get out. I would love my daughter, and I'm saying something right now that is probably not the smartest thing to say, but I would love for my daughter to get out of that school. Yes, sir, I would. I would love for my daughter to get out of that school. I would love for my daughter not to wear that costume, and that's going to get me in. What I have just said on your program tonight could put me in a lot of trouble. But I can't do it, and I won't put my family at risk. And
what is going to put your family at risk? I got to find out here, and you don't want to tell me. This is a public school. This is a teacher there. This is the...
No, she's the principal. Her name is Erica Dorton. You ask around.
Ask around. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jeff on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, I just, to the dad, this is a joke of any father. You stand up, be a man, not be your best friend to your daughter. You cower to an 11-year-old boy, not to some headmistress. You didn't even get to the headmistress. You cower to an 11-year-old
boy. Oh, yeah. No, I already talked to her. I already talked to her, and I can tell you, sir.
Boy, 11-year-old boy says it's beyond your comprehension level, and you cowered to that. You didn't become.
What are you? What would you do?
Father.
What would you do?
A father and not a best friend to your daughter. You need to stand up and say, "Listen, this is what's right in my house, my rules." Not some 11-year-old boy who says you can't comprehend this.
I think it's easier said than done, sir. When you're not standing in my shoes.
And well, what is it about your shoes that makes it so different?
You have to understand the power that this woman Dorton has. You have to understand what she's capable of.
Is this 11-year-old boy part of her dominion?
Well, he's part of the school that she approves the curriculum, and that boy supports the curriculum, which was wear a skeleton costume.
And you said to your daughter, as a good father, you said, don't wear that. That's offensive. And you were right. And then you turn around and you back down after this kid calls you whatever he did, and after this Dorton looked disapprovingly at you.
You guys don't know what you're dealing with here.
So where does the line draw when this headmistress has her little minions say, okay, today we're going to have everybody drink the Kool-Aid, sponsored by Jim Jones?
No,
you're
going to
be okay with that.
No, it's not. It's none of that internet talk, okay? I'm not in some chat room now. This is my daughter. It's her school.
And you weren't a father. You were trying to be your daughter's best friend.
Are you a father? Let me ask you a question. Are you a father?
Yeah, absolutely I'm a father.
Of what?
That's why I'm calling. I'm upset.
Of what?
I'm bowed down.
Well, you're a father of what? Two, three,
father
10?
Father of what? I'm father of... I got two girls. What do you mean father of what?
Two girls? How old are they? Are they in school? Are they out of school?
In school. They currently
school?
Are 14 and 12, thank you. 14 and 12.
And what schools are they in? Are they in kindergarten or...
14 and 12, kindergarten. All right, Jeff, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Are there some headmistresses, some schools you can't deal with? It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, a construction contractor who has been a frequent contributor to our program. And we're talking tonight about the middle school there in Corona, CK Corona, where you have had an ongoing dispute with the school regarding your daughter and their curriculum, but each time you find yourself giving in to the school because you can't seem to withdraw your child from this, a public school.
You know, to say that I can't, excuse me.
Are you, I mean, you're emotional about this, aren't you?
I'm not emotional. I want you and your listeners to know that I hear what you're saying. I understand. There's only certain things I want to say, and one of them is that this woman, Erica Dorton, is a East Coast liberal. She come to California and got a hold of this middle school. Her ideas are now rife throughout the school, and the idea of dancing skeletons or whatever these kids were going to do on Memorial Day was an example of it. When I said don't go out in the skeleton costume, my daughter immediately went to the school, reported it to Dorton. It was then transmitted to the middle school, top two middle school teachers, and then that was transmitted down. So by the time I got the phone call, they had marshaled most of the administration.
And what do you mean marshaled most of the administration? So you were called on the carpet by the school, and you for saying that you didn't want your daughter wearing this skeleton costume. What was said to you?
Well, what was said to me was that Memorial Day is nothing more than a celebration of the dead. It's just that we're glad you're dead.
And you got to be kidding me, man. You didn't say anything to them?
I was told to shut up.
Told to shut up?
Yes, sir. And I want to explain something to you, if I could, Mr. Hendry.
You were told to shut up by who?
By Mrs. Haley, who is the school, who is the homeroom teacher. And Dorton was at the end of the hall. I saw when I came out just to get a breath of air, I saw Dorton standing there.
What conversations have you had with Mrs. Dorton?
I have not had any.
You've not had any conversations with her?
No, sir, I have not.
What do you mean you've never had any conversation when you went to the school?
No, she simply pointed down the hall. She didn't say anything, she pointed, and then turned back into her office and closed the door. I played for you the recording that we have of her calling my home.
I think on our last show, but I mean, the point that I want to bring out to my audience here is that this woman is somehow pressuring you. And what we're trying to do is get advice from other parents who have dealt with high-pressure schools and who have dealt with high-pressure administrators, who've dealt with school, you know, really schools that other parents might have had a hard time dealing with, or just parents who've dealt with schools, to give you some guidance here, because you seem completely intimidated by this school.
Yeah, but you see, Mr. Henry, no advice I'm going to get tonight on your show.
And our number, by the way, is 87. Hold on for a minute, Mr. Bozell. 877-876-PHIL. If those of you listening, if you've had schools that your children are in that have been run by very imposing kinds of individuals, very aggressive kinds of teachers and administrators, how have you dealt with that?
Well, but you see, Mr. Henry, there's no one listening to your show right now, I dare say, who's going to have a fix-it for this Dorton, because she's got a... The woman is, she has a lot of parents intimidated.
In what way?
Bill Freshley was one of the fathers in our men's club. He also was part of our junior high boosters. He got into a spat with this Dorton, or at least one of the administrators there that reported Dorton. And it was concerning the girls' softball team. They were going out of town, and they were going to be spending the night in a town other than Corona. And he was having an issue with that because he didn't like the chaperone situation. There wasn't really going to be no chaperone. He took it to Dorton, and apparently it got very heated. Now, that died down, but here about 5 months later, he turned up with his throat cut.
Good God.
In his garage at home.
Well, how do you know it has anything to do with the school? How do you know it has something to do with the school?
The teachers, the neighbors say they saw this commencement robe, an individual wearing a long scholastic commencement gown, running from the garage at 2 a.m.
Someone in a commencement gown running from the garage at 2 a.m. You're telling me that this was this Dorton?
That's what they said happened. I can't prove it. No.
So you're telling me now that school that your kid goes to, one of the parents got his throat cut when he was arguing with them about his daughter's softball team going out of town without chaperones?
That's what we're thinking.
And when you say we, who are you talking about?
There's a group of us. I don't want to get into who we are. I don't want to get into what we're about. I don't want to use names. We have, we identify each other. We know who each of us is. And there's a group of probably about 10 parents. We can recognize each other by certain recognition signals, shall we say, that we have.
Boy, you know, I got to tell you something, Mr. Bozell. You need to get the police involved.
Boy, wrong thing to do. Oh, is that wrong?
Well, you got to get the cops involved. If you suspect that this principal cut somebody's throat?
Wrong thing to do, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
All I got to do is holler cop. And that's the last time you'll ever hear people...
All you got to do is holler cop. It's the last time we hear from Steve Bozell. I'm telling you right now, you got to get the cops involved or something, because if you're that frightened of a school administrator, of a principal, that you can't tell your daughter not to wear something to school, and you're going to stand there and take the abuse and the crap.
Mr. Henry, you don't understand. There have been people who've tried to go to the police. There is something about this woman that is, I can't describe it, but she's not of this world.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? You sound like a guy that's panicked. You sound like a guy that's lost your ability to rationally think about certain things. I'm telling you, you need a cop.
If I holler cop...
Yeah, I know. If you holler cop, that's the last of Steve Bozell. I don't think so. I'll holler cop for you. How about that? Why don't I...
No, please. God, please don't. Please.
No, what do you mean, please don't?
Please don't do that. You don't know. You don't know what Dorton will do.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. Here is Patrick in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Patrick. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Stephen Bozell.
Yes. My children went to another school district in Riverside County. We had somewhat of a similar situation where the administrators were trying to impose undue rules on the children. I stood up against a principal and a vice principal, and they were trying to just basically push me back down. So I took it straight to the school board, and now both the principal and the vice principal at that school district or at that high school that my children went to are no longer employed by that school district.
Because you went right to the school board, sir? You went right to the school board? You went right to the school board, correct?
I went to the school board.
And Steve, what about that?
That's the whole problem. They won't tell me where the school board is. I asked them. I said, I want to go to the school board, and they won't tell me where it is. You don't understand.
You don't ask them to go to the school board. You go to the school board.
You go right
to the administration office, and you report it to the human resource. That's how I went in. I went through the human resource director. And I reported it to
I don't know where that is. They won't tell me where it is. I don't know where it is.
You don't know where what is.
You know what? All you need to do is look it up in the phone book.
It's not in the phone book.
In the school district that you're in, look it up in the Corona Unified School District.
I tried to find it under three or four different headings. They've got a Corona Unified. They've got a beverage company. They've got a unified water treatment plant.
Where's the school board
There is a school district.
I believe you, sir.
You know, my children went to a high school in San Jacinto School District, which is in the same county as Corona.
Right.
There is a school district office. School districts have a school district office.
Go to the administrator.
All you need to do is...
Where is this? Yeah. Patrick, hold on for a second. I want to play this tape that you say you got. You got this phone call at 1:30 on the morning after this contretemps with your daughter erupted. Let's listen to this.
I don't get it. You need to stand up against this lady, and you need to tell her.
Hold on. We just heard that tape.
She has to tell you who her bosses are.
You didn't hear that tape recording I just played, did you, sir? You didn't hear the tape recording I just played. That was her calling my home at 1:30 in the morning.
Play it again there, Robert, so that Patrick can hear this.
By all rights, teacher, play and it again. Also that administrator needs to be terminated from their job because they are overstepping their bounds and trying to take control of your children, and it's wrong. I dealt with
breathing.
That tried to take.
Have you ever dealt with a school administrator that has called your home and just breathed into the phone?
That is harassment. Why don't you turn that tape over?
Okay, that's right.
It's on tape. Turn it over to the police.
Why don't you give that to the police?
Because Bill Gilly turned up with his throat cut. That's why I don't turn it over to the police.
You know something?
Corona is part of Riverside County, Contact Riverside County Sheriff's Office. They will take care of it. You're not.
That is harassment. Patrick just used the magic word. It's harassment. Okay.
Yeah, but the problem is, how do I know that's her?
Well, you know what? If you think it is, that's a good place to start.
You have it on record. When you're able to find out, you know what? I could probably go online right now and find the school district numbers and the school district office. All you do is you turn this matter over to the police. It's on record.
Exactly. Okay. We've got to find out this school, where it is.
It's called CK Middle School.
Okay.
But just, if you listen to this tape one more time, that's the part that scares me.
That sounds like some mental case, man. That person shouldn't be running a school. Scaring the hell out of you?
Have you ever had that experience, Patrick? I've just had the gentleman in Bakersfield.
I've only dealt with the called into the school.
Oh, great.
This gentleman has.
Oh, my God.
With an administrator. And the administrator that the vice principal that is no longer employed by that school district was originally a cop. He started out his career as a cop, and then he got into administration.
Did you ever go toe to toe with someone breathing into the phone?
And he tried to intimidate me. He tried to knuckle me down,
mm-hmm.
and I stood toe to toe with him, and I told him I'm not going to stand for it.
Okay, sir, but go toe to toe with this.
That's a phone call. That's breathing into a phone. Okay, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
That's nothing at all.
That's nothing, huh? I'm telling you right now, this woman is not of this world.
All right. Well, then let the.
You know what? Breathing into the phone is nothing at all. You know, if they were calling you and threatening you, that's another matter. That's an entirely other.
That
matter.
Is exactly correct, and that's what the man
that
is. That's what he's.
The phone, and that is nothing.
Exactly. You see.
Stand up to this woman. Find out who is employed by. Contact that school district. Contact their. What you do is you go into the human resource office of that school district. The person administrator that works in that office will put you in contact with the school district.
You know what, Mr. Bozell, that's a freak. That's some kind of a freak, and that's not a person that should be in charge of a school. And this man's advice is absolutely sound.
Well, I'll tell you, all I want is my daughter to get an education. I don't want anybody bothering me. I don't want anyone breathing into my phone.
Yeah, and the last thing you should expect from
a... All you do is, you be a man and you stand up to it. You let them know...
The last thing you need...
And you know what? The best thing you do is protect your child. And the way to do it is to stand up and not tell them I'm not going to put up with this.
Exactly. And to me, these are phone games. This is now an infantile mind at work.
An infantile mind? Something that can talk backwards? I don't think so.
Something that can talk backwards. All right, Patrick, I appreciate your call very much, sir.
Yeah, something that talks backwards. When you record it, it comes out the right way.
I thank you very much, Patrick, for your call, and thank you for your very good advice, too. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL.
You're just blowing right past that, huh?
What do you mean, something that talks backwards?
Listen to this.
Recorded May 22nd, 3:30. Yep.
What do you think of that?
What is that, man?
That was on my answering machine.
6:30 in the morning.
Are you kidding? If someone's got to do something.
That was on your answering machine, and you think that's the principal of your kid's school?
I know it is. It's Dorton. Dorton, Dorton. It was Dorton at the beginning, it was Dorton in the middle, and it'll be Dorton at the end. At the bitter end, I'll tell you something else, Mr. Henry. When Jesus does come, when Jesus does finally come, and he raptures everybody on up, and I don't get raptured up, Thornton's going to be standing there because they'll kick her out of that grave, and you better believe that's one ghoul. That's a ghoul that'll chase you down. What have I done? Why did I buy that hooker?
Do you feel...
Okay, go ahead and laugh. I sinned, now I'm going to pay.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That's a guy that's got some kind of a neurosis leading into a psychosis. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Stephen Bozell with us, what?
We'll be back on the air.
Yeah.
All right, I was on, I was getting myself a Diet Coke, and I turn around, there's my daughter.
Okay, so your daughter's there. You know, that's really good. Is she listening?
She's been listening all... Give me the phone, okay? April, I'm going to hold the phone.
Okay, you know, tell her for me.
Hold on for a minute, Phil, will you? I got the phone.
I got the phone.
You got the cord around my throat. I told you about these people.
What?
I told you.
I got the phone. I'm going to have the phone, honey, not you. I got the phone, not you. You got the cord right around my throat.
Steve, do you need help?
No, I don't need any help. Honey, you need... I'm bigger than you, it's stronger than you. It's pretty funny, actually, Phil.
She sounds like she's got the cord. You can't talk.
No, that's fine. I'm going to get loose of the cord once sooner or later. She thinks she's badass. Watch this. Think you're badass? Just because you have the cord around my throat, you think you're badass? Think you're badass? Watch this. Woo! Woo!
Yeah, how's that feel? I dropped her.
What happened, man?
She come up behind me with the cord on the phone, put it around my throat. I was at no time was I in danger. At no time was I in danger. I told her, man.
What did you do?
What did I do? I laid her out. Look at that. Boy, she ain't going to be getting up for a while. All right, bring on Dorton. Now I feel good. Now I feel good. Now I feel like I'm ready for Dorton.
And well, this Dorton, you got to take the guy's advice. By the way, I'd call the cops if your daughter tried to strangle you.
No, I ain't calling no cops. I'm waiting for Dorton now. I'm going to wait by that door. I'm going to wait there with this. Looking at the moon in the sky. I got a couple of barrels loaded for her. Oh, yeah. Dorton. 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 Dorton.
Phil Hendry.
Dorton.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And with me this hour is Robert Leonard.
Hello.
And Bud Dickman.
What?
I'm introducing you, man.
Oh, hi. You don't usually do that.
Yeah, I do. Every freaking hour that I do with you guys, I introduce them. Anyway, they're in our News and Information Hour, and it's good to be with you guys. We have Chris Norton. Mr. Norton is a telemarketing, I was going to say a telemarketing genius. No, he isn't. He's a telemarketer from Manhattan Beach, California. He'll be talking with us about the Casey Anthony trial and his experiences with single young mothers. That's coming up in another quarter hour. Don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And at our website, of course, you can pick up a backstage pass and watch all of the live streaming video, as well as listen to all of our archived audio, streaming audio. You can download all of it. We're making downloads every day. We're like that potato chip company. I don't know what that was.
No, I'd like Dorito to make. Go ahead and eat them. We'll make more.
Yeah, we'll make more. We'll make more downloads because we are creating downloads even as we speak. So eventually our entire library, all of our archives will be downloadable. We have completely renovated our character clip section. You know, we've taken over the website from this big company, Clear Channel, and we have converted it to a ma and pa. It's much easier to use, we think, and much more user-friendly and like all that. So we're in the process of doing that. Eventually, everything in the archive will be a download, and the highest, best quality recordings of our shows available anywhere. That's the other good news. All right, so here on the Phil Hendry Show on this Tuesday, I trust you guys had a decent Memorial weekend. I don't know what you did. If you did anything at all, you probably should have paused for a moment in observance to the men and women who have laid down their lives in defense of this country.
Why?
Because that's what Memorial Day means.
Oh, well, I went and had dinner with my uncle. He's a veteran.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good, bud. But
Memorial Day about the people that died, man.
My uncle ain't dead.
Okay, so your uncle ain't dead.
What was I supposed to do?
No, that's fine, man. I'm just saying that Memorial Day, a lot of people are confused. They think Memorial Day is about veterans. It's about, yeah, it's about veterans. It's about veterans that died, you know. Veterans who have gone to the great warrior heaven in the sky, you know. They are now riding the dragon, you know, and that stuff.
Whatever.
In any event, that's what Memorial Weekend is. I hope you had a good one, man. I had a pretty decent... Actually, I didn't do anything. So there's some other news that we got to come back to here in the real world after the time off that we've taken. One of them is John Edwards, man. If this guy ever goes away, I mean, actually ever really gets off the front page, it'll be a modern miracle. John Edwards and the feds are arguing if the money was donated or a gift, that is, money that was used in his campaign, or money that was supposedly money used for his campaign that might have been used for something else. John Edwards and federal prosecutors are arguing over whether funds used to cover up his extramarital affair were campaign contributions or just gifts from his longtime friends. An indictment of the 2004 Democratic vice presidential nominee appeared near, but some people on both sides were still hoping on Tuesday for a last-minute deal for Edwards to plead guilty to a negotiated charge. So far, Edwards has refused to admit to felony charges that would likely cost him his law license, according to people with knowledge of the negotiations who can't keep their big fat mouths shut, so they speak on condition of anonymity because they're supposed to be private and they're not supposed to be talked about, and yet they're talking about him anyway. So what kind of people are these? We don't know.
Hey, how come they're talking to tell them not to talk?
I don't know. Maybe they're getting paid. Why are you people talking when they're told not to talk, you know?
Yeah, but they're talking, we get to report it.
I don't care. I could care less whether I report this garbage. I'm honest to God.
Are you kidding me, man? There's another guy going to do it.
Good. Let him, man. This show ain't about this. I'm just talking about it because it's real unseemly, and it's disgusting, and it's vile, and it's sexual, and it's very interesting. However, I feel dirty. Anyway, Edwards has said he hopes that once this case is behind him, he can revive his legal career. Yeah, sure, uh-huh. Specializing in helping the victims of poverty he championed on the campaign trail.
What?
I don't know, man. I that cat's pitch on the campaign trail about poor people, I never did understand that. I mean, I understood it. I know that there is poverty. I know there are poor people. That's a bad thing. But in the middle of the kind of economic times we were having, it didn't make much sense, man, to be out there talking about the poor. I mean, all right. But you weren't going to get elected president.
Well, why not, man? I mean, that's a good thing to do.
It may be a good thing to do, but nobody cared. No one cares about the poor when they ain't got any money themselves. Nobody was exactly poor. I mean, the middle class ain't completely wiped out. But the last thing we're worried about, especially in a country like this, is poor people when we're going through the economic times we're going through. So it was just a dead-on-arrival message. It had no hope whatsoever of anybody at all giving a damn. Who'd you vote for, bud?
John Edwards.
That's what I thought. The prosecutor...
You knew that?
That's why I asked him. The prosecutors have decided after a two-year investigation that the hundreds of thousands of dollars that two Edwards donors gave to help keep his mistress in hiding were contributions that should have been reported publicly by his campaign fund because they aided his bid for the 2008 presidential nomination. But Edwards' lawyers have argued the funds were gifts intended to keep the affair a secret from his wife, Elizabeth, who died of cancer in December. Oh, well, you realize what this guy is? I guess you know what? What's the point, huh?
Yeah, you're pretty much beating it into the ground now.
I mean, nobody knows. If there is anybody out there that doesn't know what a douchebag this guy is, you know, and I don't want to, you know, you're right, bud. Why am I beating a dead horse here? This guy, he's already a dead horse.
Yeah, he's not only a dead horse, man, but he's got one part of him like a horse. And they were,
will you shut up about that, okay?
That's what the videotape said.
I don't care what the videotape said. Edwards, get a load of this. So Edwards' lawyers are having to argue, no, 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 these were gifts. These were gifts so he'd have enough money to keep his mistress from finding out, and the wife, and, you know, all of that. See? So he's cool. Yeah, he's real cool. Campaign finance experts say that if the case goes to trial, a jury would be asked to decide whether the payments were to influence the campaign as opposed or in addition to keeping Elizabeth from learning of the affair, and whether Edwards helped coordinate the money. It would come down to a jury weighing the degree to which it was personal versus which it was political, said Paul Ryan, an attorney with the nonprofit Campaign Legal Center. Often real life isn't as cut and dried as the law. He wouldn't be the first person to cause payment of hush money to keep infidelity quiet and hidden from his own family. But I think the casual observer would likely conclude that keeping his campaign viable was at least a motivating factor, if not the motivating factor. In other words, some of that money was used for the campaign, and so therefore he used it illegally to keep his mistress and her ass in the clear, or whatever he did, and the baby that was born and the whole deal. And so you're going to be wearing a striped shirt, man.
No, no way.
He's going downtown, man. He's going to Lompoc.
With Lompoc, man.
You don't know Lompoc? It's right up the road from us. Lompoc, minimum security, I think. Lompoc is right up the road, and it's such a small town that even native Californians don't know how to pronounce it. Lompoc, Lompoc, something like that. It's north of Santa Barbara. And I'm telling you, they got a prison up there. It's a beautiful thing. Up there is where Charles Colson, John Mitchell, all the Nixon boys, I think, went there. All the white-collar criminals, all the real douchebags that, you know, that we've come to know and love. And who else has got, I forget, but some of the more recent guys. I don't think Bernie Madoff is there. Is Bernie in Lompoc? Nah, I think he's, no, I know where he is. He's back east. He wanted to be close to his family. And maybe Edwards will be back east, too. Maybe, you know, it'll be one of those things. But out here, man, we got a nice one right up the road. And up there is where, like I said, all of these white-collar guys used to go. So maybe he'll go there. Edwards has been fighting to avoid criminal charges for months and hired former members of the Federal Election Commission and other experts to argue the case shouldn't be pursued. Edwards' lawyer, Gregory Craig, has called such a prosecution unprecedented and a matter more appropriately a topic for the Federal Election Commission to consider, not a criminal court. Prosecutors have cited a little-noticed 11-year-old FEC advisory against personal cash gifts as giving strength to their case, according to people familiar with plea negotiations. And let's keep in mind, folks, that this is a Democratic administration. It's a Democratic attorney general and like that. So forget about this being anything like some politically motivated witch hunt, blah, 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 blah. There was a case, Philip Harvey asked, he's a businessman, asked the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, whether he could give $10,000 gifts to candidates for federal office solely for their personal use in gratitude for their public service. The Federal Election Commission responded by advisory opinion on June 14, 2000, that the gift would be considered a campaign contribution because it would only be given because the recipient was a federal candidate. The FEC opinion isn't binding on federal courts, but the sources said it's one argument prosecutors have used to support their assertion of wrongdoing because they say the payments for Edwards' mistress wouldn't have been made if he were not a candidate.
So then it is a campaign contribution.
Yes, or at least in the opinion of these guys.
Oh, I get it. They would never give him money if he wasn't. Hey, here's that commercial with the girl's hair blown back. It's a Trojan vibrator.
Will you shut up about vibrators? What are you guys looking at anyway?
That commercial up there.
Turn that crap off. Oh, that one. All right, we'll be back here at a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget philhendryshow.com. Is your cell phone giving you cancer? Or is there a bunch of cancer experts out there trying to scare us? We'll find out. Plus, Chris Norton's going to join us in just a moment. And we'll be talking about the Casey Anthony trial. And check us out at philhendryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back in a moment.
Radio for patriots Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I actually have on the line here, I don't know if we have any Casey Anthony audio, because I did not have time to upload all the Casey Anthony stuff, but I got Chris Norton on the phone. Huh? Do I know we have some, but I just didn't put it in there. Although, I'll just go ahead and pull it off of the... there's no Anthony audio? Okay. Nonetheless, I know we got a story. But let me get, if you could send me that story, Jace, over the IM, let me get Chris Norton on the line here from Manhattan Beach, California. Chris, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. Thank you.
Chris, you have you been following this Casey Anthony trial?
Yes, I have. It's a very interesting, you know, trial from a standpoint of, from how I see it, because I'm, as a single man, you know, I'm more interested probably. And it's not because I don't care about, you know, a little child or anything like this, but it's more because, obviously, as I've mentioned to you on your show and I've talked to others on other radio shows, that I am very, you know, for better or for worse, and, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm very handsome. Women are, you know, attracted to me, and because I'm, you know, I have a lot of sexual energy and, so I do, and I do have a lot of sexuality, and so I'm
sexuality, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so is this why you're attracted to the Casey Anthony trial?
I think, yeah. Most guys that are my, you know, have sort of my lifestyle, if you want to say, are attracted to this story because, see, Casey Anthony is, it's a very tragic story, there's no question, but... because I'm 28 and I do have a high level of sexual, you know, a lot of sex appeal and sexual energy, I'm more going to be attracted to the fact she's pretty hot. You know, there's no question about it.
And so Casey Anthony is.
Yeah, very.
She's really hot. Well, she's an attractive girl. There's no question. But and it makes it all the more weird and tragic that this beautiful young woman would be on trial for the murder of her own child. Now, what doesn't that? How does that play into your thinking as a young single man when you look at a beautiful young woman, but you know that there is a possibility she murdered her own toddler daughter?
It's bad, and I do feel bad. But if you know, you have to understand from my point of view, and it's difficult, Mr. Henry. There's no question it's difficult for people to sort of get in my shoes. I don't know how many people would be put in my shoe, but...
what, in your shoe?
In my, I meant to say two shoes. In both my shoes. But I was a little bit nervous there, but...
That's all right.
When you're 20, when you're me, when you're Chris Norton, you do have a high level of sex. That I have a lot of sex. You know, I'm not going to, you know, deny the fact that I do have a lot of sex with a lot of women, and so that does tend to outweigh it.
And so you're, just so I know, you it outweighs the, if you had the chance. Let's, you know, man to man here. If you had a chance with Casey Anthony, it wouldn't matter to you at all, even if she was guilty.
That part I can put out of my mind, but. The reason I think more than anything is I wish I would have had sex, you know, with her. There's a lot of single young women out there who are single mothers and want to have sex. And if I'd have had sex with her, it probably would have been just, you know, same thing would have happened. But she would have in her mind right now the memory of the sex that she had with me. And that would make her want to get out of jail, you know, as she's guilty, the only thing she'd be able to do is to go to jail and with good behavior. But my sex, or at least the sex she has with me, would force her to be more good behavior because of the sexuality, you know.
Because of the sex she has with you, it would be so good.
Yeah, that
that she would be good behavior in prison to get out to go back to you?
If they didn't have no conjugal visit. If they have no conjugal visit, do you know the conjugal visit is when you get Seth in prison? But there's no John. There's no John. I was gonna say no John. John and Ken visit.
John and Ken visit.
I mean, conjugal visit.
Conjugal.
What's that again?
Conjugal. A conjugal visit is when two people can.
Yeah, no, I know what it is. I'm sorry. I know what it says. You know. Okay, is that what it is? Having sex. I just don't know what it's called, conjugal or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it ain't called a John and Ken visit. That's for sure, huh?
Yeah, well, I misspoke there, Mr. Ray. I mean, you know, I'm not no talk show host or anything. But anyway, if they did not have no conjugal visit or however you say it, then, yeah, she'd be trying to get out of prison faster so that she could come and meet me for to have the sass again. And that way, that's why she'd want to get out. But, I mean, right now, she's in bad shape.
Well, I mean, let's look at this situation. You're a single guy. You're out there dating. I think you said that your place is the, what's your favorite bar?
My favorite bar, probably my home away from home, is Rusty Pelican.
Rusty Pelican?
Rusty Pelican.
Oh, the Rusty Pelican.
Yeah. And Manhattan Beach. And I like going there. I like go to Josh Slocum's Newport Beach sometimes. That's where I go. That's where I meet a lot of girls that I do wind up having sex with. Probably every time I go to the Pelican, I probably wind up, you know, going home, bringing one back to my condo. And so that's what's going on right now out there. There's a lot of single women. They got little tiny kids at home. They don't want to be tied down to a little kid. They want to have sex. And I'll say, well, here I am, baby, but you got to go take care of your kid. Now, what's it going to be? You want to take care of your kids? It's the sex. You know?
Well, if you say something like that, what if you run into a Casey Anthony type who says, oh, wow, I'd rather have sex with Chris. I think I'll go and kill my kid.
That's the problem. You know, that's something we were, you know, me, Steve, Dave, and Rick and me, all three of us. Or
Steve, who did you say?
What?
Who'd you just say?
Oh, Steve, Dave, Rick, and me. Steve, Dave, Rick, and me. Yeah, that's three.
That's four.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's four. It's all four of us agree that no matter how good the sex is, even if I could have sex with Casey, I would not have sex with Casey Anthony if I thought that sex was going to result in the little kid, you know, what happened to that kid. So I would not have no sex.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank God, you know.
Thank God what?
Thank God you never met her, had sex with her, although it wouldn't have mattered because she was going to wind up.
Yeah, but see, what I'm saying is if she would have had sex with me.
That's right. If she would have had sex with you, then at least she'd be getting out of prison on good behavior time faster because she wants to get back with you.
Yeah. That's the only thing that I have to offer. Other than that, me, Rick, Dave, and Steve. And
All three of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. All four of us, I mean, we have agreed that we would not want to have no sex with a single mother. And also because I don't want to have no sex in front of a kid. And a lot of them bring you home and they go, oh, that's okay, let's go ahead and do it. And there's a kid there.
Are you kidding me?
No, man, some of them do.
Well, that's vile. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Chris Norton.
That's all? Or do I get, is this gratis or do I get paid?
No, this is gratis. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks a lot, Chris, for your fantastically sensitive outlook here. All right, coming up, Sarah Palin. Is she running for president or is she just looking for publicity? The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
It is. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The one you've heard so very much, little, not at all, about every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard are with me. And I've completely spaced out, man, on what we were going to do here. Oh, I know. Sarah Palin, man. Sarah Palin, right?
Yeah, you're going to find out Sarah Palin. She's going to run for president. She just thinks it don't smell.
Right. You know, speaking of it not smelling, I thought I saw a tweet from Bobby Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association, and she, I don't know if you saw this or not, Robert, she was ecstatic because she was tweeting this. She said, and I want to put this as delicately as I can, she said, I just took care of my morning ablutions, my morning business, and it doesn't stink.
Yeah, I heard that, man, and that she said that that's the reason why she should be the president.
Are you kidding or something? Everybody stinks.
Well, she said that hers didn't. And as Robert just said, she used that as proof that she should be the Homeowners Association. Think about it, man. She wanted to use that as proof that she should be the Homeowners Association president for life.
Because it don't stink.
Because it does. And, of course, we have to take her word for this because who the hell really knows and who wants to find out? But she said she got her sons and her husband to vouch for it. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Bobby Dooley this hour. We're here to talk about Sarah Palin and whether she's going to run for president. And I think that, you know, it's really too bad that I made the early call like I did on that. Back in 08 when I said that Clinton and Giuliani couldn't be beat. You remember that?
Yeah, you said it was a lock, Harry. You're so wrong.
I know I was wrong. You know, I know I was wrong. I know I was wrong. I know I shouldn't have come out and said it was a lock. It just seemed to me that those two, it was theirs to win, man. It was both Clinton and it was Giuliani's to win. But neither one of them showed the tough, they didn't show the smarts or the toughness when it really meant something. Clinton was so far out in front, man, and then Obama came along and just deftly knocked her right off of her feet. And Giuliani, man, when Huckabee and McCain, both of whom were just nasty sons of guns, especially Huckabee, Giuliani had no belly for that. He didn't want to get involved in that at all. And then, of course, he threw all of his money at Florida. Just bad strategy, man. But I'm sorry that we called that because I really do feel that I'm very good at telling you what's up with a lot of these candidates. Now, at this particular point, the Sarah Palin story is so meaningless, one can only say the following thing. Those cats in the media have nothing to do.
What are you talking about? Everybody thinks people like her.
People may like her, but she is not going to be president. Everybody knows. I'm not saying anything that's new. Everyone knows she ain't going to be president of the United States. I'm just trying to save people from years of heartache, man. She ain't going to be president. Most people know that. Some people don't. But the media, those guys are so lazy, they can't dig up another story. They don't know what else to write about, so they just keep writing about her. And today, her and who's the guy? Trump? You got to be kidding me. What do you guys do for a living anyway?
Yeah, I haven't figured out either.
Her and Trump sitting down eating pizza is about as boring a thing as I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah, here it is, man. A real moment. Trump and Palin, two people that are done. Done. So here's the story. Now that we've told you that they're done, and now that we've told you that Palin don't mean anything other than, you know, she's going to move to Arizona and have herself a couple of laughs, have a margarita, why not? But that's about it. Sarah Palin is, quote, going rogue again, confounding the press and delighting fans in a family bus tour. That could be a prelude to an unconventional White House campaign or a branding exercise for Palin Incorporated. That is, whatever it is she does, right? Whatever she's going to do, she's going to do. The 2008 Republican vice presidential nominee has kept reporters scrambling across three states for 3 days, refusing to publish her schedule while traveling the countryside in a flashy, painted campaign-style bus. After announcing the tour of East Coast historic sites last week, Team Palin went silent on the internet, on the itinerary, and refused to accommodate press coverage. It was an unusual strategy for any politician, particularly one considering a White House run in 2012. Well, maybe she ain't considering a White House run in 2012. And maybe the only reason why they're sending your asses out there to cover it is because they think maybe she is going to be in the campaign in 2012. And now that you know she ain't going to be in the campaign in 2012, they probably shouldn't be sending your ass around covering this stuff. So why don't you guys start earning your money?
Yeah, but they're going to have fun and everything.
I don't care if they're having fun. These guys are coming up with stories just so they can stay out there, have a couple of cocktails, stay in places that are almost as nice as Sarah Palin's, and hang around with her, and this and that and a bunch of other stuff, man. It's got nothing to do with nothing. Here's an interview on WGAL television at her stop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Sarah Palin explains why she's embarking on this tour. Maybe she'll answer the question.
I'm having a great time with my family and our Alaskan friends and our Pennsylvania friends who have met us here today to make sure that our kids are learning as much as possible about American history. And we are on this tour so that we can tell the rest of America how important it is that we know what our foundation is all about.
We can tell America how important it is that we know what our foundation is all about. It is important to know what our foundation is all about. It is true, yes. Because they went to Gettysburg.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know about where America started.
Right. No, I know. I just... Amateur video caught on by an unidentified local reporter asking Palin if she plans on running for president.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's still, you know, a matter of looking at the field and considering much. There truly is a lot to consider before you throw yourself out there in the name of service to the public, because it's so all-consuming.
Well, but wait a minute. You were running for vice president, so you should have known already. You should have already figured that out. You ran for vice president, so you already know what it is that you are running for. Vice president is basically running for president. That's what a vice president's doing. Are you a president? Can you be a president? Are you capable of being a president? And now you're telling me?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's still, you know, a matter of looking at the field and considering much. There truly is a lot to consider before you throw yourself out there in the name of service to the public, because it's so all-consuming.
Well, I understand.
Yeah, she's saying she's going to run as president instead of be a campaign running mate.
No, I understand. It's different running individually as president than as a campaign running mate. You're right, bud. And that's a whole other strategy, so I get it.
Yeah, so you were jumping the gun.
All right, I was jumping the gun, okay. Finally, Susan Molinari, Republican strategist and former representative from New York, lauds Palin's strategy involved in the bus tour.
She's really putting together, I think...
Thank you. Now, the other thing, I'm kidding.
She's really putting together, I think, a brilliant strategy for reminding everyone at this very critical time of a presidential campaign that she is extremely relevant. You showed those pictures of people standing out in the heat and the people who are talking about that she's the one person that connects. If I would have to say today, I'd say I don't think she's running. But tomorrow, you know, she may prove me wrong. But what she is doing is running to be one of the most influential Republicans in these United States. And what that means is whoever is the Republican nominee or all of those people running for the nomination will be courting Sarah Palin and want her attention and her endorsement.
What, Robert?
How come they always say these United States?
Yeah.
How come they say what? Get on the mic.
How come they always say these United States?
These United States?
Yeah, they'll say, like, when Obama got inaugurated, he goes, and these United States.
Well, I think it's a term that goes back to, I think it's a term that may be a 19th century, these United States. In other words, that whole period in American history where we weren't really sure if we were a United States or not. We were the American states, and then it was the, you know, I think we referred to ourselves as these United States. In fact, I think it was a pre-Civil War term.
But what did it mean?
Well, it meant that we were not yet a country. I think we saw ourselves at that time as even though we had gotten rid of the Articles of Confederation, I think we still saw ourselves as sort of a confederation. You know what a confederation is?
Uh-oh.
A confederation is an alliance of states, as opposed to a union into a country of states. A confederation is an alliance. It's like each state is far more independent and is almost like its own country, but you confederate. That is, you join together in a federation.
Like the Federation of Planets.
Yeah, sure. Like the Federation of Planets. Jesus.
What are you talking about, man? There ain't no Federation of Planets.
Yeah, there was one on Star Trek.
All right. No, you're right. Yeah, in Star Trek, it's the same. So in the Federation of Planets, we're Earth. We get to be Earth, and we're going to be Earth. And nobody can make us not be Earth.
Yeah.
But we are in a Federation with, like...
Yeah, like the Vulcan. Yeah, with the Vulcans.
All right. We're in a Federation with the Vulcans and whatever the hell other planet is friendly. And together... We form a unit so that we can defend ourselves. So if the Vulcans are attacked, then what am I talking about? We just get out of here with Star Trek. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is these United States is a term that's probably pre-Civil War. And then after the Civil War came the term the United States. We were no longer these United States. We were no longer the, you know, these American states, whatever the hell we wanted to call it. We became the United States. And during the Civil War, of course, they kept talking about the Union, save the Union, Union, Union. We don't use the term Union anymore. But we do say the United States of America. And so that's an old term, pre-Civil War term. That's all.
All right. What else?
What do you mean, what else? You got me off the anyway. Palin's routine visits to the National Archives in Washington, George Washington's Mount Vernon home in Virginia, Baltimore's Fort McHenry, and the Civil War battlefield in Gettysburg were news on a quiet Memorial Day holiday weekend. There you go. They finally admit to it, man. They had nothing else to write about. Her first event on Sunday, riding in the annual Rolling Thunder motorcycle rally in Washington on the back of a Harley, drew a frenzy of cable news attention and a crush of photographers and fans. Palin was then dragged off the Harley and taken behind a warehouse where other members of the I'm kidding.
Oh, God, man, you're going to get sued and everything.
Yeah. Who the Hell's Angels in Washington, D.C.?
Who?
Are the Hell's Angels back?
The Hell's Angels in Washington, D.C., I imagine. They probably got to... No, we're not going to indict anybody here. I'm joking.
Yeah, but I wonder if she was on a Hell's Angel motorcycle.
I don't know who was there, man. I don't know what's in that Rolling Thunder. I don't know if any of the so-called 1% groups, you know, are there.
What's that mean?
What does what mean?
What's 1% mean?
1% is the 1% of motorcycle clubs that consider themselves outlaw, perhaps.
I know what it means.
What?
It means that there are only one. They're the clubs that aren't. Not going to do what people tell them to do.
Why not call it 1%?
Because at one time someone said 99% of all people on motorcycles are good guys. There's only 1% that aren't. So groups like the Angels said, yeah, and we're that 1%.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't even know, man.
Well, you know now, okay? So I don't know if any 1%ers were in Washington.
You said she got dragged off the back of a Harley to a warehouse.
Yeah, well, whatever, okay? In a brief chat with reporters who cornered her outside her Gettysburg hotel.
Right there, man.
What?
Cornered.
Yeah, they cornered her.
They cornered her what?
They cornered her.
I'm going to smack somebody. You understand? They cornered her outside of her hotel. Palin said any potential White House run would definitely be unconventional and non-traditional, she said, as she sported a man's jacket and pants. And also had shaved her head into a mohawk, the New York Times reported. Palin's bus tour and next month's Iowa premiere of a documentary film about her stint as Alaska governor has renewed speculation about her presidential ambitions. Iowa hosts the first nominating contest in the 2012 presidential race, something called the Iowa Caucus. Does anyone know what it is? I do. Do I want to explain it? No, I don't. All right, we're going to be back here.
Come on, man, you got to explain it.
I'll try. The Hangover 2. Is the biggest comedy of all time, and I'll tell you what I think of it, even though I haven't seen it, coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com for merchandise. Check it out. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We hold forth every night on our website with our video cast. And we're on Phil TV in HD right now. So,
hear that commercial about the vibrator.
You know what, man? I'm going to turn that TV off in 5 seconds if I hear that one more time.
I told you, man.
Sorry.
Hangover 2, the biggest... You know, I got to agree just for a moment. I have to agree with Dennis Miller. I heard him say the following, and I agree with this. He said... You know, I'm flipping the TV on now, and I'm looking at here comes the Viagra commercial, and here's another one for vibrators. I mean, is that necessary? You see, we still have kids watching TV.
Yeah, but it's on late at night, man. A little kid ain't going to see it.
I don't give a damn. And don't tell me the Viagra commercials are on late at night, man. I see those all the time. Viva Viagra, all that bullcrap. It bothers me. It just bothers me. You know, I got nothing against grown adults doing whatever the hell it is they want to do. But the thing that really bugs me and makes me feel weird and I think is really creepy, and I think people need to check themselves a little bit on this stuff, is the willingness that we have to expose sexual attitude to kids.
Well, I mean, just a Trojan vibrator.
Oh, is that all it is, bud? What's the story, America? You know, in other words, we can talk all we want about child molesters, and we can talk all we want about this, that, a whole bunch of hot air about how much we care about kids. I've never seen a society more eager to expose children to a sort of a sexual consciousness. And these parents, man, I'll tell you, that show that we saw that time, Robert.
Well, that was sick, man.
Yeah, but you heard that guy. That was that show where those little girls, little three-year-old kids, little four-year-old girls, dancing like they're in a strip club, and they ask some stupid ass of a father, oh, I would never do anything. Well, you're doing it, man. Talk about a guy that ought to, oh, my God. All right. Speaking of childhood, child sex, The Hangover 2, the biggest, I'm kidding, no, it isn't. Hangover 2, biggest comedy bow of all time. At 137.4 million. That's how I pronounce those things. It doesn't even...
That's a lot of money, man.
137.4 million. Shattering numerous records, Warner Brothers' The Hangover Part 2 grossed 137.4 million in its 5-day launch at the domestic box office. The sequel helped fuel the best Memorial Day weekend on record and grabbed the best opening ever for a comedy. Executives at Warner Brothers said to the audience, "You are sure to get 9 more movies that look exactly like this one. That's how confident we are in this franchise."
Really?
Yeah, really.
What do you think, man?
I'll tell you one thing, though. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, but you said the Godfather sequels was good.
The Godfather sequels are good because the Godfather is a story, a historical document, yes, fictionalized, nonetheless, a historical document about an era in American history, and you can follow it chronologically and logically and all of that, right? Okay? There's, like, real stuff going on, man. Comedy sequels are horse dung because... it's more of the same bullcrap. The first Hangover was fantastic. Somebody, in fact, Rance just asked me, did you see the first one? Yes, I did. Did you like it? Yes, I did. Are you going to see this one? No, I am not. Why not? Because why? Why do I need to?
They'll probably have more, like, good stuff in it.
Yeah, well, they'll probably have, like, what? Remember when they had the tiger?
In the first one, yeah.
What if they'll, like, have monkeys or something?
Oh, well, I got to see that. I got to see that. I mean, they had the tiger. That was good. But what if they have monkeys? Are you kidding or something?
Well.
Overseas, Hangover opened to $60.3 million from 40 countries, 3 times higher than the first Hangover, and bringing the sequel's global bow to almost $200 million. Hangover grossed $16.7 million in the UK, the best ever launch for a U.S. comedy, as well as the top grossing of 2011, while it earned $11.9 million in Australia. DreamWorks Animation and Paramount's 3D tune Kung Fu Panda wiped up the rear. No, I'm just kidding. Also contributed to the boom, grossing roughly $67 million in its first 5 days. All this money, I mean, you know, do you and I know what it means?
Not really.
The overall uptick in theater traffic at the domestic box office was a welcome... What happened to them playing the music?
They probably forgot again.
Yeah, as usual. The overall uptick in theater traffic at the domestic box office was a welcome respite for the film business, which has suffered one of the worst box office slumps in history, and it's too bad. Well, you guys are roaring back, man, with $200 million for Hangover Part 2, but that's all right, and I'm sure it's great, but I'm not going to see it because I don't need to see it because I saw Hangover 1, man. What else is there to see other than more of... Okay, we'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, all of our merchandise and like that, and, of course, our show log right after the show. on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Ta-ta, good night all. From London, Edward R. Murrow.
Phil Henry.